It was getting to a point where I started worrying, if this escalates further, will I become a violent parent? I started kind of becoming this pushover parent that you don't want to be, and I started letting go of boundaries. I think we confuse the emotion and the behavior. Obviously, we don't want our children to hit and throw and bite, but we still want them to be able to be angry. I think that has been the biggest shift. You have to disconnect the two.
Everything about how our brains are wired makes us want to get them to calm down, but that's the worst thing we can do.
You realize that a lot of the issues you're having with your kids are not the kids, but your response to it.
Welcome back to Raised Resilient, where I show you how to end the meltdowns and reclaim your peace without relying on punishments, bribes, yelling, or any other parenting strategies that don't feel good to you and your kid. I'm Dr. Hillary Manzik, clinical psychologist, parenting coach, and mom of three kids with really big feelings. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being here and for coming to share your story on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about you and your family?
Right. So we're a blended family, which is a very normal thing nowadays. So we are a family of six, which is my husband, his three kids, and then me and our kid. The challenge that comes in here is that we are long distance. So he's raising his three kids in a different state. I'm raising our child in a state that requires traveling by plane to each other. So we see each other about 2 weeks a month. We fly back and forth. And I co-raised his stepkids to a degree from afar for the last 10 years and was exposed to some significant challenges raising kids that had been through a traumatic divorce. And they were pretty, some of the three kids are very sensitive too. And so I kind of went into this parenting game already with a perception of there's a lot of baggage in this family of anxiety disorders and stressors that will maybe make parenting our child a little bit more challenging. And then the second challenge is just that we have the long distance and I have a full-time, pretty stressful job. So I, a single parent half the time, who relies on a nanny and to make sure our kid is being raised safely.
Yeah. So you have a lot of external things.
Factors
that made it harder. Absolutely.
Right.
So now tell us a little bit about what parenting looked like before you found me.
Right. So all together, I thought, you know, when you parent alone, it can be harder, but a lot of it is also easier because you don't have to find a compromise in your parenting. You just parent the way you want and nobody's going to judge you or criticize you. And so I thought things were going well. I have a really good kid and things, you know, I was just thinking tantrums are normal. They started around 2 years and 8 months, so not even that bad. And they were like once a week. And then they were becoming a little bit more frequent. And then they really hit a peak when my mother visited. So my mom is from Germany. I'm German. And she visited and naturally my focus was a little bit more on my mom. We were doing more adult-like activities and just kind of dragged the poor baby along. And she just got overstimulated, overwhelmed. And some of the messaging maybe that came from my mom wasn't always what she was used to. So the tantrums started really kicking in. Like we were talking about 30-minute meltdowns in the car after a long day, throwing things, biting things, like just completely losing it. And then I found myself in this challenge of my mom judging me and my parenting, basically indirectly telling me, well, you're letting her get away with that. And then me thinking, well, what have I done wrong? Why is my kid doing this right now? And just basically feeling overwhelmed and guilty and judged, and then also feeling really angry in the process that when the more angry my kid got, the more angry I got. And then what started was that I started dysregulating, and where my response to her tantrums earlier was just kind of accepting and sitting with her and validating her feelings, now my response became like screaming back and getting angry at her. And it was getting to a point where I started worrying, if this escalates further, will I become a violent parent? Like I got that worried about my anger getting so heavy that I just wanted to do something differently.
Oh, I love that you had that level of awareness. And you are not the first parent on this podcast to say that you had those feelings of like I'm not going to, but I could see where people could hit their kids, right? Like
yes,
it's a really hard place to be.
Right. And I always felt that block, like I could never hurt my child, but just that anger made me want to hurt something, and I just had to get out of the room because the idea of hurting my child is just the worst thing ever imaginable. So I just didn't, but I didn't feel like that I was in that place emotionally. I didn't like that I was in that place emotionally.
Absolutely. That doesn't feel good to even be having that feeling of just that rage that comes out. So, what was it like for you to make the decision to join the Chaotic Connection program?
I think it was a feeling of oof, I found something that seems like it's exactly what I need, because I identified my kid to be highly sensitive. I had already read that book by Elaine Aron, which I found somewhat helpful, but it's not very tactical or strict. It doesn't give you a lot of strategies in the day-to-day life with them. And then I think I'm sensitive. I think my mother is sensitive. I think the whole family is kind of on the sensitive spectrum. But my kid definitely. And so I thought I had already found all the resources and had already done everything, and I felt so alone. And now that I had you, that feeling of being alone was gone, because my husband isn't here most of the time. So it was like, and he doesn't get the challenges as much as I get. And so I was like, there's somebody that can guide me through this, that's going to hold my hand, that's going to help me make better decisions. So it was mostly that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you were able to that we were con that we connected and that you felt that relief of not feeling alone, because that is so hard. Like you said, in some ways, solo parenting is helpful because you're not trying to manage, compromising with somebody else around your parenting strategy. But also, there's no one to tag in and out with. It's just you. And sometimes when you have those big reactions to her, it can be really isolating and scary. So, how did life change for you when we started working together?
So the biggest thing was how I felt about everything, and that makes all the difference, because I came into this program with a lot of guilt, shame, helplessness, and all of a sudden I was feeling empowered and supported, and I knew that if I messed up, I could repair it. I could go somewhere to talk it out, and I didn't feel judged for anything that I was feeling. And I also started noticing that I was having this bring it on mentality towards her tantrums. I was like, before that, I was walking on eggshells. I was like, oh, how can we avoid the next meltdown? And how can we stop it real quick? And I was always appeasing her, and it started kind of becoming this pushover parent that you don't want to be. And I was started letting go of boundaries. And all of a sudden now I was like, nope, we're going to have a tantrum now. I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to try to stop it. I'm just going to let her get it out. I'll welcome it. And I still feel that way. I feel like I'm more welcoming towards all her and also all of my emotions, because I think that's a big part too, is that you feel guilty about being angry at your child, and then you just learn in this program that there is no reason to feel guilty about any of your emotions. They just are what they are, and you embrace them, and you figure out how to accept them and move into the next phase, because they all eventually will pass.
Yes. And I think that is something that all of us parenting now, we didn't get that messaging when we were young. In fact, I remember the moment where I first heard that all of your feelings are okay, right? I was in college and one of my friends had gone to therapy and she came back and said, I learned today in therapy that all of our feelings are okay. And I was like, what? Because I still felt like there were emotions that we should be avoiding. And that was college, right? So it is really tough then when our kids are expressing those intense emotions to welcome them. But when you make that shift, it's incredibly powerful.
Yes, and it's really, I think we confuse the emotion and the behavior. Obviously, we don't want our children to hit and throw and bite, but we still want them to be able to be angry. And so I think that you have to disconnect the two. And first let all those emotions out, and then later you can talk to them about what maybe we can do better the next time when we get mad, and practice all those skills outside of the moment. So I think that has been the biggest shift. I wouldn't say the meltdowns have gone down in frequency. If anything, they've gone up, because we're three and a half. She has a very strong-willed personality, and it is discovering her individual rights and her will to control more. And I think those are all great things. And instead of trying to shut down the meltdowns, I will embrace them. I will tell her, yes, let's get it out. And oh man, I love you so much for feeling all the things right now and letting it all out. And I felt that even just saying that, hugging her in the moment, will sometimes bring a meltdown to a stop. So
Yes.
yeah, it's
And I
working.
love the awareness you have around she's 3 and a half. At this age, having some tantrums and meltdowns is developmentally appropriate. And as a fellow mom to a 3.5-year-old daughter who is very much a sensitive, deeply feeling soul, I really get what you're saying. It really, we can actually start to celebrate them in those moments. Like, yes,
Right.
let it out. And we're building so many skills for the future when we do that.
Yeah, I think we empower them to be really truly their authentic selves if we allow them to feel all those things. We just have to figure out a way to redirect their emotions to different behaviors. But I think there's also just a limited amount of things you can do at this age. So I think a lot of the things we do at this age is really just the embracing of the emotions. And I think you had one workshop session that spoke to validating their feelings, not always being helpful. And that was the one thing that I always did like wrong, quotation marks. Like I always validated them and I felt that just made it worse. And now I stopped validating them. I just kind of sit with her and say, oh man, you're so angry. Just let it out. Just be angry right now. We can be angry together. And then the less I make it a dramatic thing, the more she calms down. And that has been a really big pivotal shift.
Yeah, that is so huge. When we stop trying to get the emotions to stop, they actually get less intense. And I
Right.
think that is something that it takes parents sometimes a really long time to make that shift because everything about how our brains are wired makes us want to get them to calm down. But that's the
Right.
worst thing we can do, especially with a sensitive kid. And so often we're validating trying to get them to calm down. Like, I know you're really mad, and secretly we're hoping that that'll help them calm down. But
Right, yeah.
it's counterintuitive that actually embracing it is what leads you through it the quickest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's been a big shift. And then I think in the work that we did together, I had to acknowledge a lot of my own childhood trauma and feelings that were silenced when I was little. And just acknowledging that, and that was being triggered by my child's behaviors, that was a very helpful shift for me too. And then just a lot of the framework and the skills that you brought up in the workshops, it was just like sometimes just tiny little things or just one sentence that you said that flipped the switch for me.
Isn't it wild how sometimes it is just a subtle shift and then it can open up the door to so much more in our
Right.
relationship with our child? Yeah, I really loved how you have always been so reflective throughout this process. And it really does require that, right? If we're gonna shift how we're showing up, we have to go deep with our own experience and our own reactions. And you really showed up and did that work. And you're seeing the
Right.
fruits of that, even
I
without her meltdowns disappearing.
Right. I just feel better about them now. And the big challenge will come in 3 months, and I'll get back to you in 3 months when my mom comes back. And we
That
go on
is
a
hard.
Disney cruise. And then we have everything. We have the judging German co-parent, and then we have the Disney cruise overstimulation that I'll get back to you.
Yes, that and that's really where we start to see these skills when the rubber meets the road, right? We have these challenges. But you have these new skills now that you didn't have before. And it is very triggering to parent in front of your own parent, especially if that parent wasn't, helping you regulate your emotions as a child and help and causing you to kind of shut them down. Yeah.
Right. And my mom herself cannot regulate her emotions either. So she still kind of has a toddler response to a lot of things. So that's very interesting. And I kind of noticed as because I was doing the workshop while she was still here, I started noticing that I was parenting her the same way I was parenting my kid, and that actually helped my mother too. So
Yes.
I think that the beauty of the workshop is that it's helpful for every relationship because you realize that a lot of the issues you're having with your kids are not the kids, but your response to it. And so that also is true for marriage and for other relationships. So I think once you realize, oh, maybe I just need to let go and not get angry about this. Or if I am angry about it, then just welcome that anger and say that's totally normal to be angry right now. So just allowing yourself all those feelings and okaying your own feelings is going to make you a better parent and a better wife.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, that co-regulation that you give to your daughter actually helps your mom too. I've experienced that with my own dad and watching him have a reaction to my child having a meltdown and then me co-regulating kind of both of them at the same time. It's a pretty wild experience.
It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what would you say to a parent who's considering this program, especially considering that your experience was you didn't come in saying, oh my goodness, the meltdowns are so terrible. You knew things had been getting worse, but you also recognized that you wanted a framework and a strategy and tools to parent her more effectively, given your own reactions.
So I think a lot of us are online a lot for this, and so we already have seen all the Instagram videos and the TikToks on how to gently parent and or gentle parent, how to gentle parent. And I think we get so many mixed messages and so many you shouldn't, you should. If you do this just right, your kid will never have a meltdown again. And you get all these messages, and I think that overcrowds our minds and makes us feel like we don't really know what to do anymore, and we're just like frozen. And so I think just putting all your eggs in this one basket when you know you have a sensitive child and you've tried all those mixed messages, putting your eggs in this one basket is a lot of eggs. I was really considering the cost of the program and
It's
thought,
a
oh
lot
man,
of eggs.
a lot of eggs in one basket. So I was really stressed about the cost. And I know a lot of families might be even more stressed. And if you have more than one kid, that's a big cost. But I felt I'm investing in my entire future, my life, my kids' life, my marriage, my marital health, and I have spent less money on or more money on vacation. So why can't I do this for us as a family? So I think the one thing is just ignore the cost. That's a temporary concern. And then the second thing is just really dive all the way into it. Like give it your all. Watch all the sessions. Use everything that you get. And really be introspective in that time and acknowledge and look into your own childhood as you go through this. Because I think that was the biggest thing for me was I had already known my childhood had dysfunctional aspects to it, but I think this program showed it to me even more clearly, just because of how your framework works and how you expressed your theoretical framework in your sessions. It just like really hit a nerve with me. And so I would say to all the parents, dive in, especially if you can, both of you, if your husbands are willing, they'll be really, really helpful, and use every moment of those 8 weeks and just really do all of it and like just make sure those 8 weeks are your focus. And don't expect everything to change. Like, I think some people may go in this program and think I will fix my kid's tantrum. Like, just don't go in with that expectation. Go into it with just the curiosity and openness to just try out whatever this program brings to you. And I think if you go in it with an open mind and that curiosity and that willingness to do work on yourself, then you will get something out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because there are situations where we are going to end those meltdowns, right? You have, an 8-year-old child who's having meltdowns because they're stuck in a cycle of meltdowns trying to suppress their emotions. We can stop most of those from happening. At 3.5, developmentally, we're not going to end all the meltdowns, and that's okay. And I think people come to this program for different reasons, but you'll get out of it what you need to get out of it, and you will still feel that shift to peace in your family, however your family needs to get there.
100%. Yeah. And I think it also really helps you get this, your program in focus, and just kind of forget about all of the clutter that is online. Like, I completely disconnected from everything online, so I wouldn't have any conflicting stuff crowding my brain, and I could just really focus on your workshop. And that was so helpful. It just like this detoxing of social media is a very big component of it. And just focusing also on your own mental health in those 8 weeks. Take your time to go to yoga, do some meditation, go for a walk in the woods, like whatever it is that you do that helps you connect with yourself. I think that's a big part of it too. This workshop is not really about your kid. It's about the whole family dynamics, and that includes the grandparents and all the
Absolutely.
siblings.
That's so true. And I say a lot on the podcast, when you have a highly sensitive child who's stuck in a cycle of constant meltdowns, it is not an individual child problem. It is a family dynamic problem. And I think once you go through it, you really understand what I mean by that. But that's why all these individual interventions, taking your kid to therapy or trying this random script you found online, that's never going to work because it has to be a deeper shift. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I love too how you pointed out that part of what you got out of this is letting go of the constant scrolling on social media, looking for that one thing that's going to fix it for you, because you will not find it.
It's a much bigger systematic thing. I mean, we have a very challenging societal life. There's so many expectations being thrown at women or and at parents in general, but I think women especially have the pressure. They have to look pretty, they have to be great at their job, they have to be career women, but they also have to be great mothers and wives and chefs and whatever. And I think that the social media has just multiplied that. And just yesterday I unfortunately scrolled through my Instagram, and there was this mom that decorated her entire kid's bedroom in a Christmas theme. And I was like, oh, I haven't done that. I'm failing my children. So it just puts more pressure on you. And this program takes the actually does the opposite. It takes the pressure off. It says, listen, you're all humans. Everything you feel is correct. And you don't have to do anything differently. You just have to accept the way you are and accept your kid the way they are, and you're going to figure it out. Like, it just, there's a lot of gentleness and kindness to yourself that comes out of this program.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think that's so true. It's like we just have to get out of our own way. And we don't know how to do that because we are constantly on and being inundated with all these different messages and pressure specifically on moms. You're
Oh,
exactly right.
yeah. Yeah, 100%. And a lot of lack of kindness in the society that, you know, when you as a mother face a challenge, like there's a lot of moms that you talk to about, hey, my kids have tantrums. Do your kids do that? And they're like, yeah, my kid does that too. And I yell at them all the time. So you feel like it's all normalized, but you're still feeling like it's not right and you're not getting anywhere. And so it's really just nice to just turn the focus inward and ignore the rest of the world during this session or during these 8 weeks of sessions.
Yes, I really think that's great advice. Like, do it and jump in and then let everything else go so that you can really immerse yourself
Right.
and not feel all those conflicting messages and pressures from outside.
Yeah, and like the how should my kid be at this age, and what should my family look like? All of that is nonsense. Everybody has their own family and their own set of challenges and dynamics.
Absolutely. And I think, from social media, you hear that, gentle parenting, I think the under or the subtext of gentle parenting is it's all your fault and you're not doing parenting right, which is not true. And then I think when you talk to other parents and they're saying things like, yeah, I lose my cool all the time, you might feel validated, but also, like you said, it still doesn't feel good. And we're
Right.
looking to parent in a way that feels good. There is definitely the hot mess mom culture or the,
Yeah.
my kids are so annoying culture. And if you lean into that, you feel crappy. That
You
doesn't feel
just
like a
become
good
a
way to live.
martyr. Yeah, you just become bitter, and you don't want to be the mom that hides in the closet with a glass of wine. You want to be the mom that shows up and uses these 18 years that they live with you. To the best in the best way that you can create connection and memories for the future. And so I don't think any of us have kids in that with the idea that we will just have 18 years of disconnect and anger. We all want to be happy with our children and have a good relationship with them. And so putting in this work of figuring out really early in childhood where you are struggling with your kids' emotions is so important. That's why I also wanted to do it now and not, because my husband was like, you really think you need that? And I said, yes, I do, because she's three. Right now, she doesn't remember being yelled at, probably, but in 2 years, she will. I know I remember being pulled off a little bobby car and being spanked as a 5-year-old, and I hated that feeling of loss of control. I still remember that at 43. So I didn't want things to escalate to that. And so that's why I did this now. And I can only recommend that I did. To start it whenever you feel it, it's right for you. Just you can only win.
So true. Like it's never too late, and I believe that firmly. And at the same time, the sooner you start doing this work, the better parenting is going to feel. I truly wish I had had the ability to do my own program back when I was in that place with my oldest, which is why I do what I do, because I had this highly sensitive kid and I did not know what I was doing. Psychology school did not prepare me for that. And all the work I had done as a child therapist, believe it or not, did not prepare me for that
That's crazy.
because you're going to face yourself. And that's what nobody tells you, right? Like, even with all of the work I did with these angry teenage boys who would yell at me and say all the things, I didn't have to face myself because they didn't trigger me. It was somebody else's kid, and it was so easy to remain calm. But then you have your own child, and you have a mirror held up in front of you in a way that literally nothing else in this life does.
Exactly. And there's so many layers to it too, because if you look at it in your family context, you'll say, oh my gosh, she acts just like Aunt Mary, and Aunt Mary ended up with using drugs, or she acts like my sister who never found a job in her life. And so that's another layer that comes into it, is that stresses you out additionally, that you just try to find parallels to other family members.
Absolutely. What's wrong with my kid? Is she going to end up like this? Is he going to end up on this path? And that's a very stressful way to live. And that's one thing I remember shifting is when I would lay down at night, I wasn't spinning with worry. There came a point where I was like, I know I'm doing right by my kid. And you can't put a price on that kind of peace of mind, I have found.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I said it may be a lot of eggs, but
Yep. A lot of eggs, but worth. I have had another
100%.
parent actually say in the beginning that was a stressor for him. And then on the back end, he said it seems ridiculous to even think of it in financial terms because I would have paid
Yeah.
anything to get where we are now.
Right, but we live in a world where everything is expensive, and so more expenses are the last thing you want. And so I think there's that hesitation. Plus, you also feel at the beginning of this program, without having had much insight into what the program offers, you also feel the skepticism of, well, I've already Googled everything and I've already
Yeah.
read the
What am I
books. So what?
missing?
Yeah, what should the what could this program possibly do?
Yep.
And I had been in counseling. I had read the multiple books on how to do gentle parenting. I feel like I had really done more than the average parent, whatever that means. And so I was very skeptical, but then I said, well, it's whatever, I'll just spend this money too. And then by the first workshop, it was really the first slideshow where something just clicked and I was like, oh my gosh, I've been getting this wrong the whole time. And it just immediately, I noticed the first week how everything was different. Whenever she got mad, I just relaxed into it. And it
Yes.
was so much better for me too. I mean, I just had a screaming match with her last weekend. So there are days when you as a parent just can't show up the way you want to. But then you also addressed, spoiler alert, the value of repair, and you teach people how to do that in an effective way. And so that has also been going so much better. And so I feel like just the overall connectedness and attunement with your child is just so different after the workshop.
I love that. And I love that you have such a different perspective about those moments rather than saying, I'm a bad mom. Oh, we've gone back to where we were. You know, yep, I didn't have the capacity that day. And here's why. And here's my path back to my child and to myself, right? You're going to
Right.
have that self-compassion instead of beating yourself up and then being more likely to lose it again because that's pressure when you feel like you're failing
Yes.
as a parent.
Right. And then the other thing I think is really helpful to know is that even though the program is 8 weeks, the materials are available to you at all times. And I already forgot most of what was happening in module one, but I go back and it refreshes everything and it has the same effect all over again. So for
Yeah.
life, once they're 15 or when they're 8, you will still be able to go back to the toolkit and be able to review, and it'll make a whole different sense to you then because the context is different. So the materials are not limited to 8 weeks. They're going to be there for you for a lifetime, and you can keep reviewing them.
Absolutely. And these concepts really do apply to kids, whether they're 2 or whether they're 22. Like, honestly,
Yeah.
I love that. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being here, for sharing about your journey. It has been such a pleasure to work with you and get to know you and see you have all of these massive shifts and wins. And I just so appreciate you being here to share your story.
No, I'm very grateful that you do what you do, and I'm very excited to hear what else is happening in your program, and I can't wait to get back to you in a few months to see how things are going.
Yes, I can't wait to hear your updates. Well, thanks
Okay.
again.
Thank you. Bye.